All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
No, I just
can't change the format. I'll be five episodes in.
I do it every time.
Every time, my ass. All right, welcome to Geek Stuff, episode 5, The Dream Job.
Another Mr. Fantastic creation.
Hey, you know, we came up with something to go along with it.
We did?
Yeah, I think so. Kids' toys, right?
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. All right, because toys apparently... This may be a new thing, but toys are apparently intended for children.
No.
Now, this is something that I found out in my research.
No.
Yeah. I found that out this week. I did some investigating, and apparently there are toys. And in fact, most of the toys out there are indeed intended for children.
Is this research by a man by the name of Jesse Falcon? Is that where this research is coming from?
Now, see what you're doing right now? You're breaking the pact.
I'm sorry.
We had a pact in episode 4 that we were not going to mention Jesse Falcon, Toy Biz, Variants, although we do have two corrections that we have to make with regards to that report. But other than that, we're not supposed to be mentioning any of that.
All right, so we won't mention it.
We also need to be very, very careful about how we handle Mr. Fantastic now.
Because?
Because Mr. Fantastic is wired for sound.
Uh-oh. That's no good.
And I'm a little frightened about what he might say. Especially since Mr. Fantastic did make it to the eye doctor this week.
Ooh.
And he did not get a head CT.
Uh-oh.
Which means cancer, still a possibility.
The big casino?
Yep.
You're really hoping.
No, I'm not hoping it, Mr. Fantastic. I don't want you to die because then I got to replace you. And I'll probably end up with your brother, and that's just... twice as much trouble as you.
All right. Well, why don't you start off with our corrections?
Right, right. We did report last week that of the many variant discussions we had when we used the Star Wars Power of the Force from the early 90s, we talked about Ben Kenobi having long saber, which was corrected into a short saber, but it was still in a long saber tray. And then we said that there was a corrected version, short saber or normal size saber in a normal size tray that appeared on a red card that, in fact, apparently, according to some emails we've gotten, is not the case. It was never corrected on a red card. It was actually corrected on a green card, which really doesn't change the fact that it's a variant. It just makes it a package variant also.
Right.
So that was one correction.
Okay. And the other correction had to do with the Star Wars Unleashed figures from two episodes back. We actually received a couple of emails. I had said during that discussion that if you wanted these figures and you were to go into your local store and look for them, you would see none of them on the peg. And I'm talking about the bigger figures, not the little battle packs.
Right. What we referred to as the plastic statues.
Correct. And I was wrong. Apparently, there is a flood of one figure that is still on all of the pegs. And
why don't you go ahead and pronounce that name?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Asajivarantvichvichvichvichvich.
Good try. For those of you that don't speak, Kevin, that would be the bald-headed Sith from the Clone Wars.
Female.
Yeah, female from the Clone Wars animated series. Apparently, she is still clogging the pegs. That being the one unleashed figure from that scale that's still out there. So those are our corrections.
In abundance.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's still one line to go.
Right.
Which I don't know that we mentioned that or not.
No,
there is actually still one more 6 or 7 or whatever inch line. There is still one more group of those that are coming out. Supposedly they're coming out in May.
Yeah, I think that's what I had heard also.
So if that's true, then you should keep your eyes open.
Right.
For those pieces.
Because surely they probably won't stay on the pegs for long.
Right. Unless one of them is that female Jedi with the unpronounceable name.
Right. Which never know.
They aren't. Actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Chewbacca from episode 3.
Right.
Which means it's pretty much a Chewbacca they've already put out, but now he'll have Wookiee weapons like he had in episode 3.
Ooh.
And Han Solo as a stormtrooper.
Correct. Which is the piece I'm excited about.
I think is the second one. And then, of course, there is blank. I don't know what the third one is.
I don't know either. I don't remember. Those are the only two I've actually seen pictures of come to think
There's definitely a third. I just
it's an Anakin figure, isn't it? Isn't like super damaged Anakin or badly burnt up Anakin, something along those lines? I think I had seen a photo of it somewhere. Yeah, oh. I think so. I could be wrong. And if I am, I'm sure someone will correct us. But I think that's what I had seen.
Well, that's all for the corrections for this week.
Right. So we can move into the rest of the news segment then?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll start it off as per usual. The first bit of news this week, and I'm sure that Kevin's going to have plenty to say about it, would be the inclusion of the Danger Room in the X-Men 3 film coming out next month, a little over a month from now. They're actually going to put it in there. Bryan Singer had worked up some mock-up for the second movie, and he never used it. But now Brett Ratner has pulled that out of the closet, so to speak, and reworked it. And he's going to be using it in the third film.
Let me see if I can find an accurate analogy to put here. Because I am really on the fence about this X-Men film. So on the one hand, if the film overall... Because now what I'm hearing is that that nearly 75% of the movie is fighting.
Okay.
Mutants fighting other mutants that we know. Okay. Which is I mean that could be good.
Sure.
But then again, I don't know. This is why I'm on the fence. So, if it's a good movie, the addition of such a an important element like the Danger Room,
right,
could be very exciting.
Sure.
But if it's a crappy movie,
mm-hmm.
I mean, throwing us a bone like the Danger Room, that's like whipped cream on dog shit.
From what I hear, the sequence is supposed to actually be pretty good. You're supposed to be able to see most of the X-Men team, I'm guessing including some of the newer members that they're going to highlight in this film, fighting a giant robot in the Danger Room. And just a little add in there, that's probably going to be the only giant robot in the film. Because, like I had mentioned previously, the Sentinels are still rumored to be only about 3 feet tall. I'm not even going to say anything more about it.
What could you say?
I don't want to say anything. I just want to hope it dies.
It's just, let's hope that's a rumor. I'm sure it isn't.
You never know. We'll have to see what Ratner's capable of.
Wait, hold on. What?
Can you just explain that to me?
What would you like us to explain?
Why are the Sentinels 3 feet high?
Well, here's the answer.
I don't get it.
We don't fucking know. Because Brett Ratner is a douche.
You don't get it because you don't know what the Sentinels are? Or the Sentinels would be the giant, like, 50 billion story.
I think he knows
robot.
That.
Okay.
I don't know what he's getting at. You have a mic now.
Why are they only 3 feet tall? Because Brett Ratner saw some military robots that apparently they're developing. And he felt that they were more realistic and... and more feasible for the movie. So he thought that he would use them as the basis for the Sentinels. Now, this is actual military footage or photos that he had seen, and he's trying to convert that into the movie with 3-foot Sentinels. It's a fucking movie. If you want to make them 30 stories tall, you can make them 30 stories tall.
They did it. That's all I'm saying. They did it in Sky Captain.
They did, and they did it well in Sky Captain. But I think we need to leave that alone for now.
Sky Captain?
No, X-Men.
We should leave Sky Captain alone, too.
Well, that too. The next bit of news that I have is the 30 Days of Night adaptation that they're working on right now. I forget the director's name off the top of my head, but David Slade. That's who it is. It's David Slade. He's going to be working on the 30 Days of Night graphic novel adaptation by Stephen Niles. For those of you that don't know 30 Days of Night, it's a vampire-based graphic novel, and it's about a group of vampires that go to Alaska during a time of the year where there are 30 days of night and pretty much wreak havoc on the inhabitants, all the people living there. There's like scientists that are up there and natives that are up there. And from what I hear, although no casting has been done and I don't think a lot of production work has been done, it's supposed to be very visceral and it should be pretty to look at. But other than that, it's a little too early to tell. You don't care, do you?
No.
I like the graphic novel. It was really good, actually. I thought they did a really good job with it, and I'm excited to see what happens.
I've never read it.
You should pick it up. I have a copy. I'll loan it to you.
Sure. You know what? The 7 or 8 minutes of sleep I get a night now, instead of doing that, what I'll do is I'll read the 30 Days a Night graphic novel.
Sounds like a plan to me. You don't need sleep.
Right.
What do you got for us, big guy?
Well, I am very excited, as you can tell in my voice. But actually, seriously, I am excited. Ape Entertainment has finally managed to bring us a book that I've been waiting for a long time. It's called The Black Coat. It's a very pulp kind of story and character. Mm-hmm. It's like a Zorro or a Phantom or a Lone Ranger kind of character set in 1775. It tells the story much like the ones of the characters that I've just mentioned, where it's somebody who's working outside of the law. Dr. Sin, the Scarecrow, would be another great example, which is set almost exactly around the same time as this. Actually, I think that is set before this, but it's a Revolutionary War type of hero.
Okay.
He wears all black, black coat and a black mask. Black Coat is the name of the book.
Right.
And it's great. It's some great stuff. The art is fantastic. By Francesco Francavilla. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I had a chance to meet Francesco, I think it was San Diego last year. Was it San Diego or
no? I think it might have been
Philly.
It might have been Philly, because I was there when you met him, I believe, and I right. wasn't in San Diego with you. So.
Well, so it would be the Philadelphia Comic-Con
right.
of 05.
Right.
And I met him, and I was able to get him to do a sketch of the Black Coat in my sketchbook. And it is fantastic. It is one of the best sketches I have ever gotten. And I think it's available for viewing. If it isn't available right now, it soon will be available on my website, www.BigKevsCriticalToys.com. If you go to the sketches section on the right, if it isn't there now, it should be available there very soon. Once Mr. Fantastic's brother gets on the ball and scans it in.
Little Fantastic?
No.
People are going to think you don't know how to use a scanner now.
I know how to use a scanner. He just has a really good one. That's all.
I
like
you know.
The way his scans come out. When I scan it, it looks all silly. It looks silly. I'd rather have it look nice.
Right. You just work behind the mic. Someone else works behind the keyboard.
That's it. That's what I've been trying to say for weeks.
I don't even work behind the keyboard though.
No. Somehow you're still the bitch though, it seems. I don't know how that happened.
It's my slight frame.
Look. 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 Call a spade a spade.
Hey, I didn't say anything about that.
That's all I'm saying.
Hoodwear.
Anyway, it's issue one. It came out this week. The Black Coat, A Call to Arms, part one of four. I hope they don't just limit this to four. I mean, this storyline, I guess, is going to be four stories, or four issues, rather. And I hope it does go on. It really seems like it's black and white, obviously. It's really a different kind of art. The story is great. It's a great little independent comic, and I hope you guys, I hope you guys will check that out.
Sounds great. I'll have to pick my copy up.
You can, to check out more about it, you can go to www.the-black-coat.com. And I guess they'll have more information about it there, artwork and so on.
You don't have to say the www.
You know, are we going to go through this every goddamn week that I don't have to say the www?
I was making a point. That's
fine. I'll never say it again. Okay, we all happy now? Can we move on?
We can. We can move on. The next bit of news that I have, which I was very excited to find out about. I actually didn't know anything about this. Being a huge Neil Gaiman fan, I was kind of shocked. They're doing a Stardust movie.
Really?
I just found out about it today, too. I was surfing around online, and I kind of stumbled upon a little blurb from Neil Gaiman's personal blog, I guess, about how the movie's going to start production soon. And I was shocked. Shocked by it. Looks like it's going to be directed by Matt Vaughn, who's the same guy that did Layer Cake, which I have not had the chance to watch
yet. Oh, that's a great movie.
That's what I've heard. Everybody's told me I have to pick it up. So
you want to borrow it?
Sure.
$3.95.
All right. Or even swap for 30 Days of Night.
But I don't want to read 30 Days of Night.
Right. Okay.
No, I do want to read it.
So anyway, so aside from the fact that this movie is coming out, which is exciting by itself, the cast so far looks fantastic.
Now, is this the actual cast, or is this like Neil's dream cast or something?
No, as far as I know, these are the people that have signed on to do the film so far. It looks like it's going to be Claire Danes has a role in there, Michelle Pfeiffer, Robert De Niro, who I was completely blown away by, Peter O'Toole, and Ricky Gervais has a role in there too. Yeah, he's just, that's the guy that's The Office, and he's got that that big podcast that he does, and he did the British version of The Office. I believe he's the writer, and he starred in it also.
Oh,
so I don't know. I don't know much about it. I don't know much about the movie. I mean, I've read the graphic novel before, and right. If you haven't, you definitely should pick it up. If you've never read Neil's stuff before, although who hasn't read at least one Sandman storyline?
A lot of people.
Well, then they need to start.
There's a whole bunch of Neil books that people... I mean, if you really want to start getting into Neil Gaiman as a writer, you should probably pick up some of the short story collections would be my...
If you want to go short stories, I would go Smoke and Mirrors. Mm-hmm. If you want to go just novel, I highly recommend Neverwhere.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Was that just him? Oh, no, I'm thinking of...
You're thinking of Good Omens, which was Neil Gaiman and...
Terry Pratchett,
yes.
Which is also fantastic.
Yes.
And as well, we might add, for the kids, you might check out Neil's book, Wolves in the Walls.
And wasn't there another one, too? Was it Coraline?
Coraline, yeah.
It was his other children's book. Yeah, actually, both of those are really good, too. So for those of you that don't know Neil's stuff, definitely pick up some stuff. Definitely check out Stardust before this movie gets made, because I think, you know, everybody will appreciate it. That's pretty exciting. We'll follow that closer as more stuff comes
out. Oh, definitely.
We got one more bit of news for today's news segment. That would be the Professional Video Gaming League, which I think it's actually Major League Gaming is the name of the league. It's
ooh, Mr. Fantastic's nipples just got hard.
Ooh. The website for that, if you want to check it out yourself, would be mlgpro.com.
Look at he's scrolling with a pen very quickly.
Yeah. Notice how I left that.
You like your video games, don't you, Fantastic?
I like my video games. I don't like my professional video games. I don't play competitively.
I've played with Mr. Fantastic. I've played Halo with Mr. Fantastic, and might I say I held my own as a team member.
Own a controller.
Yeah, that's it. But no, we worked very well together, Fantastic. We had the driving jump out when we were doing the capture the flag thing.
What game was this?
Halo 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? What? On other games we didn't do as well?
What was that football game that we played that day?
Cyberball.
Yeah, we didn't do too well on that one.
Yeah, we did. We had to play more of that.
Was
but,
that head-to-head or is that?
No, we were a team. It was co-op, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Mr. Fantastic is quite the Halo player, Halo 2 player. And I say he should be playing on the professional level.
Have you heard what these kids are making that play this? It's like a couple hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in these competitions and in this league.
Matt, you know what I say?
What?
Good for them.
All right. Hey, I was just throwing it out there. You know, wow. I'm just saying radiation therapy could be expensive. Maybe a couple extra bucks. It could help a little bit. That's all. I'm just saying.
Eye patches aren't cheap either. You want to get like a good one, you know? You don't want to get like a cheap elastic one.
No.
You want one with a nice leather strap.
Yeah. You don't have a supply that you can lend me from your vast knowledge of pirate history and pirate lore? You don't have...
Ooh, look at him with the callback.
Wow. See what happens when you give him a mic?
See? And whose idea was that? Not mine. I said keep him silent in the corner, but no.
Hey, you know, he adds something to the show.
Is that it for the news?
Well, yeah, I was just I just wanted to wrap up this this gaming thing. It's going to air. I think there's going to be 7 episodes in the first season. Looks like it's going to air on USA, so you can look for that probably another month or two. And as more information comes available on that, we'll talk about that more too.
Oh, great. Yeah, and we're going to probably have a video game feature, a regular feature coming up.
Yeah, I heard that, right? We have someone who's going to contribute to it.
We may have a someone.
Excellent. Can't say anything more right now.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with more of Geek Stuff, Episode 5, The Dream Child.
I've been really trying, baby.
Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff, available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on.
Friday night and everyone's moving. I can feel the heat, but it's soothing, heading down. I search for the
ready? When you're ready, you can begin.
See?
How's that?
That's
when you're
not
ready,
it.
You can begin.
That's not it.
Ready?
Now. That's not the way to do it.
Ready now. Ready?
No. This is what happens now. When you give him a mic.
Ready? I'm not
getting
finally,
we ready? Finally got Go. Him to do it correctly last Go. Week. Finally. After a month. And you put a mic in front of him. Now he doesn't shut up.
Go.
He doesn't do the callbacks. Go. He doesn't give us the countdown.
I'm not getting in the middle of this.
Begin.
This is your battle.
Anyway, something we touched on in the opening of the show today was this whole crazy notion that toys are actually created for children.
I still don't agree with that.
Well, I'm afraid it's out there and we have to accept it.
Fine.
But specifically, what we want to discuss today in this segment is toys that are specifically created for children, yet still seem to find a collector audience, or they appeal to a collector audience. And we have a couple of examples of that.
Sure.
I think it's probably one of the most impressive lines to come out of nowhere is this Crypto line.
Right.
It's Crypto the Superdog. It's Superman's dog.
Right.
And you may have seen him. He's white. He's got the Superman cape. Very cute. I mean, I'm sure in the 50s and 60s, it was a hoot. but now they've created a whole cartoon around Crypto the Superdog and supporting DC pets.
Right.
Like,
well, Batman has Ace, right?
Right.
The Bat Hound.
Ace the Bat Hound would be Batman's pet. and he has the cowl on with the ears. It's very cute.
I hear a Catwoman's cat is a character too. Isis or
what?
Oh, I said it. I think Catwoman's cat is one of the villains in the show. I haven't watched the show yet. I'm just a fan of the toys. But I believe in one of the episodes of the show, one of the villains
is... You knew we were doing this this week, right?
Yeah, I did.
And you couldn't catch one episode of Crypto?
No, it's on while I'm at work.
You couldn't DVR it?
Shush. I like the toys.
The cat in the line is Streaky the Super Cat.
I know that, but I'm telling you, Catwoman's cat is in there as well. Isis. I read it. I did do some sort of research.
Is she one of the villains?
I believe so.
Huh.
One of the episodes in season one, she plays a role. She's one of the villains. And she's in there somewhere. She doesn't have a toy yet, but she's in there.
Are you sure?
I'm almost 100% positive.
100% you say?
I said almost 100%. That's close, right? I don't think she has a toy yet. You're not going to find her on the package, Kevin.
I'm not looking on the package.
Sure you're not.
The story of Crypto the Superdog follows young Kevin Whitney, who is a 9-year-old. Kevin finds Crypto in his rocket and adopts him. And so now, of course, he's Kevin's pet.
Aww.
So apparently, I guess you could probably identify with Crypto in some ways, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Crypto, of course, is from the planet Krypton and is launched into space. He's a test pilot dog.
Okay.
Who is launched into space, I guess, Kryptonian scientific experiments where they launch animals into space. That would be Crypto. Right. He gets knocked off of course, and years later, he lands on Earth fully grown with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal canines.
Now, dare I ask, is this even remotely close to Crypto's storyline from the DC books back in the 50s, I believe?
Right? I have to say, in all honesty, I don't have a goddamn clue.
All right. I'm glad I'm not the only one. You did know we were going to talk about this today, right?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I watched the cartoon that the toys are based on.
Oh, right.
Right. The line is getting really popular and it's getting kind of big. They're fleshing out a lot of the different supporting characters.
Right.
For example, like I said earlier, Streaky the Super Cat.
Mm-hmm.
They also have some characters they're creating, like Hot Dog.
Oh, God.
Who, looks like a little
wiener dog.
Little wiener dog. They have Mechanic Cat. Who's, I guess, the big baddie in this series. And, of course, one of my favorite characters in the line, or I should say two of my favorite characters in the line, are actually the Joker's hyenas.
Of course.
Bud and Lou.
They have names?
Yeah, Bud and Lou. Like Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
I get it.
Bud and Lou. And they actually come in a great two-pack with Ace. That really is nice. It really is a nice package. You can also get a two-pack that contains Crypto and Kevin, who has a variety of voice and light features.
Right.
It's a great line, and this it's a good way to start off our discussion about toys that are created for kids that have collector appeal.
Sure.
This may not be everybody's bag. I mean, I don't know that Marvel Legends guys are running out going, oh my God, it's Ace the Bat Hound. I have to have it. I don't know. There may be some, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Matt. There may be some crazy, I don't know, people who collect Joker stuff who are going to run out and want to buy two of the Ace versus Bud and Lou 3-pack. You know, because the Joker's hyenas are in it.
Sure, and if you're a Joker completist, then you would have to have the hyenas. It would stand to reason.
It would. And I think the collectability of this line is really fantastic. It's kind of off-center a little bit. It's a little more cartoony. Well, it's based on a cartoon, but what I mean is it's a little more cartoony in the sense that, you know, they're very stylized in the anime, or rather... They're very stylized in the animation style, in the animated style. And they look great. The designs are great. The cartoon is really is a lot of fun. Right. You know, I can see. I think it should get a lot of broad base appeal. And from what I understand, the line is going to continue. There's going to be new characters introduced, and so good for Crypto. But it's lines like this that are in some way based on some sort of geek. They have some geek basis,
right?
Like this. I mean, Ace is actually Bruce Wayne's dog in some fashion or other in
right.
in the books, or in, well, for sure in Batman Beyond,
right?
In that cartoon, Crypto has been around, like I said, since the 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. It was Crypto and Superboy for quite a long time,
right? Yeah, the original Superboy,
right? And and some of these other newer characters that they're creating. What I'm glad they're not doing,
uh-huh.
I should say here, is that they're not going ahead and trying to craft other DC characters into animal characters. So in other words, you know, you don't have like the Flash's hamster,
right,
Skippy, and you don't have, you know, like the Green Lantern's lizard. You know,
give it time.
No, see, I'm hoping they don't do that.
No, I don't think that you will. I don't think some of those characters have as broad an appeal with the target audience for the show.
You mean the audience at Target?
No. I mean the children that are actually supposed to be watching the show and collecting the figures.
Yes?
So you guys are obviously interested in it. It looks like collectors would be interested in it. But I'm thinking back, and if I was a kid and this was the show and those were the toys, what a piece of crap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I would never buy that toy. You can't play with that. If it really is aimed at kids, it looks useless. Is that like the same mold? Or nearly the same mold? It looks...
No.
It doesn't excite me one bit. And I think like a kid. I don't want to buy these things and have them on my shelf.
At what point was the idea that Mr. Fantastic gets a mic so he can then chime in his disapproval?
Hey, you know what? That's his honest opinion. Why not? And he's got a different perspective from us.
That's true. But let me respond, Mr. Fantastic, by saying that these toys are produced by Fisher Price. You can check out the Fisher-Price.com. You can check out the Crypto line there. And Mr. Fantastic, these toys are intended for ages 3 and up.
I fall in that range.
He does fall in that
just
range.
Just barely. And the point is that they're stylized. They're simple. They don't have a lot of bells and whistles, but they do have enough to make it exciting for little kids who are watching the TV show. It's a tie-in product.
Not
meant to stand on its own. It's not a Marvel legend.
I think I see what Mr. Fantastic is saying. I think that if I were probably 3, I would appreciate the line. As I got a little bit older, maybe closer to 6 or 7,
right,
I would stray away from this line. And that's probably a gray area. But then what we're talking about is once you reach the older generation of collector, people in our age range, there's some sort of recognition and nostalgia associated with them that we find appealing.
And let me just jump on your bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
in a sense, and say that another line that started this week, having to do with Warner Brothers characters, was the Warner Brothers, the Bugs Bunny, the Looney Tunes action figures.
Right, these are actually DC Direct.
Yeah, they're made by DC Direct. There's two sets of two right now. Right now you have the Scarlet Pumpernickel, which is a Daffy Duck character, and one of the shorts,
right?
And Sylvester. And you also have What's Opera Doc, featuring Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. Yes, featuring Bugs in drag and Elmer Fudd. Now, talk about nostalgia. Well, here it is.
Right.
You know, if you want to talk about, I mean... You know, if I had been a kid when I was watching these cartoons, I don't think I would have bought this toy.
Right.
As Mr. Fantastic indicated earlier. I don't think I would have bought the Scarlet Pumpernickel toy.
You know, these are a little different, though, I think, than what we're talking about here, Kev. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I think that those particular pieces are geared towards us specifically.
No, absolutely.
As opposed to crypto and some of the other what stuff we're going
to
talk about.
What I meant to say was that I'm backing up your nostalgia point.
Oh, okay.
The point that, you know, I wouldn't have bought a Scarlet Pumpernickel toy when right. I was 8 years old.
Right.
Well, probably because I had no money when I was eight. But I wouldn't have asked mommy to buy it for me at 8 years old because, you know, I don't know. I just don't think. But now that I'm older.
Right.
You know, and a collector, I can appreciate somebody producing a Scarlet Pumpernickel figure.
Sure.
Just like these kids. You know, this show, whether it be it popular or not popular, if they like the character, they're gonna want the toy.
I've watched that show. I think it's good.
Crypto?
No, the Looney Tunes superhero show.
Oh, the Lunatics? Yeah. Oh, I haven't actually had a chance to watch it. Is it pretty good?
I watched it once. I watched the whole episode. It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I have to check that out. I gotta find when it's on and I'll use my DVR to record an episode.
Why don't you just have Mr. Fantastic over there get you some illegal copies or something?
Hey, I'm not saying anything. I'm not asking for anything. I don't know anything. Nothing.
Anyway, let's move on. The crypto, great line.
Right.
We appreciate the fact that it's going to appeal to small kids. It's not full of a lot of bells and whistles. It's very simplified because little three-year-old kids don't need excessive amounts of articulation and super detailing. It needs to be very simple.
Sure, and I think a great example of this also would be the Spider-Man and Friends line.
Oh, excellent example.
Which is really a sleeper line as far as I think the collectors are concerned. Because the crypto line, I could kind of sort of see a collector appeal built in there a little bit.
It's also very fresh.
Yes.
The crypto line is very new.
Right, it's only probably
a couple months, maybe.
Yeah. The Spider-Man and Friends line, however, I think Spider-Man and Friends is a superhero based line similar to the Rescue Heroes, or I think that they were called.
Right. They got very big feet and big hands.
And you know, and there's and this is a line where there are a lot of kitchen sink figures. But that's okay, because again, it's not geared towards us.
And we know why there are a whole bunch of kitchen sink figures in here. Because the line is produced by Toy Biz.
No, that's why the villains are only one per case. Why there are kitchen sink figures is because those things appeal to little kids. Snowboarding, right. Spider-Man and Karate Chop Spider-Man, that appeals to the little kids that this is... that these are geared toward. It is a Spider-Man based line.
It's a couple of years now, too. Like 2 years, maybe?
No, longer than that, I think. 3 years? It's probably 3 years. I think it's up to wave like 17 or 18.
No, it cannot be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just on the Toy Biz website earlier today, actually, looking for some stuff.
Really?
And it's 16, 17, 18. I think the Lizard and this Green Goblin is like 17 or 18.
Wow. Yeah, we have...
Each line is only about three or four figures.
We have the villain from the current line, which is the Green Goblin.
Right.
And it's kind of, you know what I think it is, though, Matt, is that they really blur the line with the back of the package because they have Color Change Lizard listed on here, who's been out forever.
Right.
Laser Blast Cyclops, who's been out forever.
Right.
Iron Man, who's been out for several months now.
Right.
But this Green Goblin figure is brand new.
Brand new.
So it's a little hard. It's a little hard to discern where the line ends and where it begins, I think, in this line. But it's the same thing. These are characters that you're familiar with if you read comics or, you know, in the case of Spider-Man, watch movies.
The animated series.
To
even.
A lesser extent.
Right.
Because you can see the mouth. But it's again, it's a way to take these characters and expose them to children who will grow up with these characters. And when they get to the appropriate reading age, perhaps they might start in with some Spider-Man comics that are geared for kids. I can't remember what those are called now.
It It actually might have been called Spider-Man and Friends. The newest version of those, right, where they did like a couple of small collected series. Yeah. It was like a Sinister Six one, I think, and stuff like that. It might even be Spider-Man and Friends.
Right, and then, you know, again, it gradually gets them into comic books, so this has an appeal on that sense. But from the collector's standpoint, mm-hmm. it's another different version of characters that you may enjoy.
Right.
And it certainly is a lot different. They're very stylized and super deformed as they are.
Right.
And I think they're very exciting. I like them. I have all of the, well, I have all of them, obviously, because I don't need Snowboarding Spider-Man or Karate Chop Spider-Man.
I have Snowboarding Spider-Man.
Or Web Stream Spider-Man or Web Slinging Spider-Man. Or right. I have a plane Ordinary Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and then I have all of the secondary or tertiary characters.
Right, which they've done a bunch. They've done
Iron Man.
Right, Iron right.
Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine. Lizard, Wolverine. They've done two Wolverines, right. I think.
Thing.
Three Wolverines, actually.
Doc Ock.
Toy Biz. Three Wolverines.
Yeah, of course.
Hulk. Doc Ock, they've done Hulk. Two Hulks.
Iceman.
Did you mention
Iceman
the Thing?
I did mention the Thing.
They did the Thing.
Those are the only ones that I can think of.
Captain America.
Oh, right. Cap, right?
Rhino.
So it seems like it's, for the most part, it's Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and X-Men and Avengers now a bit too would be what they're focusing on. So all the major Marvel superheroes
right.
and villains.
And again, a line created for ages 3 and up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, you don't need a lot of detail and bells and whistles. And there's something nice about the simplicity of them that makes them very appealing.
Sure.
And comic book characters are not the only characters who are getting this sort of stylized treatment for little kids.
Right.
You now have, again, another line that is increasing in popularity, which has taken the Star Wars characters.
Oh.
And has stylized them. You know, uh-huh. they're big and clunky and they have big hands and big feet.
Right.
This is apparently a very popular move with the rescue heroes kind of movement.
Sure.
And they've made Luke and Vader and R2 and 3PO and Chewbacca, and they've made a whole line
and
vehicles and all sorts of things with kids in mind.
Right. Not based off of anything other than the original movie. It's really just the characters. And if you were to put them side by side with the Spider-Man and Friends that we were talking about earlier, they're really practically
clones.
Well,
they're similar.
Yeah, they're not, with the exception of the...
They're not as bulky.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they're maybe not as squat.
Right.
But still a great line, you know, and a great... Great for kids.
And again, it's all about marketing to children
right.
here, because with the comic book characters, with lines like Crypto, which is, no matter how you look at it, it's either drawing kids to the cartoon or it's creating an interest in the toys from the cartoon. No matter which direction you go there, overall, the hope is that perhaps this might lead kids into reading, into comics. You know,
right.
Again, with the Spider-Man, Spider-Man and Friends line, I think the same thing. I think the overall feeling is let the kids start familiarizing themselves with these characters. And when they get to the appropriate age, they can then start reading the appropriate Marvel-aged book of that character, whatever it might be.
Right.
And I think Star Wars, the same thing. It's a lead-in, if you will, to bring them into either, you know, perhaps collecting Star Wars action figures,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ones that you and I are interested in, or it might be to get them into reading Star Wars comic books, or again, kind of a slow, easy transition into becoming interested in the Star Wars universe.
Right. And talking or speaking about the Star Wars universe, I think the last thing we're going to mention today as part of this segment would be something that...
That's kind of a, just kind of an off the cuff...
Yeah.
Kind of part.
It's something that really kind of blurs the line between who is it really geared towards? Is this really geared towards kids or is it really geared towards the collectors? We're talking about the Star Wars related Mr. Potato Heads that have been popping up now since right before episode 3 opened in the theaters with the Darth Tater, Mr. Potato Head. And then there was the Spud Trooper, Mr. Potato Head. And then coming out, I think May or June, is the R2 Tato, something along those lines.
Something like that.
Mr. Potato Head. Again, you know, with these, you find them in the kids' aisle of, you know, Toys R Us or Walmart or whatever.
Right.
But I almost question who they're geared towards.
Well, I'm sure that Play School thinks that they're geared towards children.
Right.
Which is why when you see, I don't know, pick a random age, 37-year-old guy
right.
buying, I don't know, random number, 6 Spud Troopers because they, I don't know, they're like some sort of crazy army builder or something. And you have to have, you know, 5 to represent the troop and then 1 in the package because that's what your collection has. You know, that, I mean, I don't know that Play School, I don't think Play School disregarded the collector here, but I certainly don't think that they planned on these being collector favorites. And that Darth Tater was a hot toy when it first came out.
When it first came out. Now it's pretty readily available. But when it first came out, you couldn't find the thing.
Couldn't find them.
Actually, me and Kevin both went to, here's where the geek really comes out.
Ding, ding.
We both went to the midnight release of the Star Wars Episode 3 figures.
I hosted that.
You did host that. That's true. The release of the toys at the Midnight Toys Madness. R Us, local Toys R Us.
It was Episode 3 Midnight Madness.
It was. And there were almost as many people there that night scooping up what few Darth Taters they could find as there were people scooping up the regular Episode 3 figures.
Right.
So, I mean, I think these things really kind of were shocking how much the collectors wanted them. But again, you know, I almost question it. You know, Crypto, Spider-Man and Friends, I feel that are very clearly geared towards younger kids. And it just so happens that there's a collector appeal to them.
Because of the nature of the subject matter.
Right.
The comic book connection for Crypto and for Spider-Man, obviously.
Right.
The cartoon connection and so on.
But with these Mr. Potato Heads, I really almost think they're geared towards us. And I've noticed a shift in the merchandising of them in a lot of the stores. A lot of the stores now, you can go to your Play School Fisher Price aisle and you'll see 1 or 2 on the Play School Fisher Price shelves. But if you go over to the regular Star Wars section in the action figure section, you'll find a bin of Darth Taters sitting there. I think they've even shifted the merchandising around, which they haven't done with Crypto and Spider-Man and Friends.
Right. Crypto and Spider-Man and Friends seem to still be located by and large. Well, I can speak for Toys R Us, certainly, because that's the one that I would be most familiar with in this case. You have to go all the way to the other side of the store to look for Crypto.
Where people
and
give you dirty looks.
And Spider-Man and Friends. That's right.
Kid Toucher. Just saying.
Just saying.
Anyway, so I think what we're getting at here is that these products that are put out, these toys that are put out that are really geared towards little kids, they do have a large collector appeal.
Yeah. I don't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. There is a large collector appeal for anything that has its basis in something that the collector is interested in, be it comic books, be it a particular cartoon. We also mentioned Looney Tunes, which is
right.
obviously old cartoons, and Star Wars as the examples that we've given. But there are other ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that these toys that are based for children, toys that are created for children, can indeed have a collector base. Right now, we want you guys to check out our news segment featuring Angry Dan. Angry Dan is going to sound off on a topic that we place in front of him as the mics go live. So stay tuned right now for the premiere of Angry Dan's Random Rant.
So that fortunate little product of Tom Cruise's sperm finally came sliding out through Katie Holmes' vagina, and I've never been more envious of an infant before, but that's besides the fact. What I'm sick of are all the headlines, Tom Cat had their Tom Kitten. I'm sick to death of all the nicknames that the media is giving these celebrity couples. Tomcat, Bennifer, Brangelina, Vauniston. I mean, what's next? Just give it a rest. Why do we care so much about their personal lives anyway? I don't give a shit. Why is that my headline when I sign on to get my email? Why is the news that Tomcat had their baby? And like down on below, it's like Iran has nuclear weapons. You know, go to page 43, but big front page, Tomcat had the Tom Kitten. I'm really excited about that. Oh, and they've got the name and everything and all the genealogy. And then there's all the theories. Oh, is it the reincarnated spirit of L. Ron Hubbard come back to, you know, show us all the light about aliens and Scientology? And the other thing is, who gives a rat's ass if Tom Cruise is a Scientologist? I don't care if he puts chickens up his ass and, you know, pulls them out and then, you know, licks them for the protein. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect my life at all. If Iran has nuclear weapons, it kind of does because they don't like Jews. And that's me. And I know that they've got one aimed right at my house because they're like, a Jew lives here. I'm not even that religious, guys. It's okay. Spare me. Anyway, so going back to these media names, it's really getting obnoxious. And I began to think, you know, which ones haven't they hit yet? Who's next? I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, they're always in the news with their wacky children's names. You know, they named their first kid Apple. Okay, it's a little odd. It's a little quirky. Their second baby is Moses. Aren't the expectations a little high there? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, he could, if you're named Moses, you're either supposed to free people from slavery, you know, and hatred, or you're supposed to be like a big 7 foot tall black football player. That's what I think when I think Moses. So what are they going to call Gwyneth and Chris Martin next? Are they going to call them Gwenton? What's, you know, does that sound good? Or, I mean, let's face it, most people don't know who Chris Martin is. They just know he's the lead singer of Coldplay. We could just call him Coldtro. And that includes the whole band, which I'm sure they're excited about. You know, they're left out of it. Their families must be happy. Then we've got Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon, everybody's favorite little hippies who like to go around and like even make liberals hang their heads in shame and just say, guys, cut it out. We've got enough going against us already. But really, let's give them a name. Let's call them, you know, Robandon or Sarandons or something cute like that, something nice and cute. And we'll put a picture of them on People magazine, you know, next time they adopt some, you know, third world child. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Brangelina. I wouldn't want to say Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. People wouldn't know who I was talking about. So why don't we just take it a step further? Let's go into the fantasy world here, right? I mean, you know, I'm sure there was, you know, media in the Star Wars galaxy, right? I mean, what happened when Han Solo and Princess Leia got together? You know, what did they call them? Heya? They've got a song for it. Outkast. Hey! It's great. There's Jedis and rapping. It's wonderful. You know, or we could call them or Gaz Solo or something like that, which sounds like, you know, this mega ultra galactic orgasm that you can only have if you've got the Jedi shit flowing through your veins. I forget what the explanation of it was. I liked it where it's just, hey, you know, Jedis are just kind of badass. And if you're not Jedi, you're not badass. I don't like the like, you know, oh, genes, you know, let's not involve the DNA. But how about let's go back? We've hit the you know, the Holy Trilogy. Let's go to the let's go back forward, you know, to the new movies. And you know, we've got Anakin and Padme, you know, a cute couple for a while, a bit whiny, but you know, until Anakin got his legs chopped off and, you know, became the big intergalactic badass, you know, maybe they could have been called Panakin or Anime. I mean, that's great and that appeals to the fan base, right? I don't know about Panakin, but definitely Anime. So going back to the Tom Kitten, or what's her name? Suri. It means like sunshine or something like that. I don't know. I made that up. Isn't it convenient that the baby is born just a few weeks before Mission Impossible 3 is coming out? I mean, I always thought Tom Cruise was infertile, so I mean, that was the Mission Impossible that I thought was to impregnate a woman. I mean, I know him and Nicole, you know, they adopted. So, but all of a sudden, the power of Scientology made his sperm super powerful and the purity of Katie Holmes' vagina. And he was just able to pump her full of lead and just impregnate her. And now they have, you know, L. Ron baby. So, point is, you know, let's let Tom Cruise just be a crazy nut. Okay, leave him alone. Everyone is mad at him. He's got nothing to apologize for. He jumps on couches. He, you know, he's like 3 feet tall and he's running around with Katie Holmes, who looks like an Amazon next to him. And, you know, let him be happy. He wants to ride motorcycles and you know, helicopters and fly across New York City to promote his movie. Let's let him do it. I work in New York. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Tom Cruise come flying past my window on a hang glider, on a parachute, or like, you know, just riding on the back of a falcon or something, like surfing on it, you know, like he's one of the lords of Dogtown. Let him be. Let him do it. Let him impregnate Katie Holmes. Let him be a Scientologist. Just, you know, at least he's not making the crappy movies. I mean, look at John Travolta, you know, big Scientologist. He's like number two in the Scientology world. And you never hear anything about him being crazy, you know, but what was the last good movie he made? I mean, Pulp Fiction? Come on. So, you know, let Tom Cruise be, unless he decides to make another War of the Worlds. Then I say we bring him out in public and burn him at the stake, damn Scientologist. That's it for me. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest.
And we're back on Geek Stuff, Episode 5.
The Dream Child.
Matt, I gotta tell you, we obviously are big fans of Sideshow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the first in Sideshow's series of 12-inch Star Wars figures.
Wow. And
I know that you're stunned.
I'm jealous is what it is.
And let me tell you, they're calling it Order of the Jedi.
All right.
I think that's what they're going to call the line.
Okay.
As well they should. I'm going to start right on the packaging here.
Okay.
When I got this, it's obviously in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. And the box folds out. But what I was most impressed with, I know, and Mr. Fantastic is laughing his guts out at me, is the fact that the final flap of this package is closed by two magnets.
Wow.
They're actually built into the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gently, you can almost just hear it. It just snaps shut. You hear? Just snap shut.
And for those of you who are familiar with Sideshow's 12-inch figure lines, normally the packaging is just a cardboard box with a flap. I think every once in a while they throw a little piece of Velcro in there to seal it.
They have a nice window. Nice window packaging.
Yeah, no, it is a nice window packaging, but it's nice to see them finally change it a little bit. And what a great line to launch it off with.
And they, you open the flap, they give a little history of the Jedi in here.
Right.
Sideshow, very, very good about giving you a lot of
flavor text.
Flavor text. Very good, man.
Glossary term.
Then you open it up again. You're looking at probably right now on your screen. If not, you can go to the home site and check out the pictures. You're going to see the first panel is actually a thin box with a tray in it, obviously.
Right.
And that comes with some of the accessories
okay.
that come with Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight.
And what comes with this, Luke Skywalker? What are the accessories for this piece?
Well, obviously, you get the lightsaber.
Obviously.
You get Luke's lightsaber. You get the unlit hilt, which you can attach to his belt
mm-hmm.
and or you can put in his hand.
Let me just say real quick that this Luke is Return of the Jedi Luke.
It is.
So it's a green saber.
It is a green saber. It is Return of the Jedi Luke. You get the gray tunic, which is another part of his costume.
Okay.
You get the force-wield left hand, which is, I guess, yeah, Luke using the force. You get the gloved right hand, which is after his encounter on Tatooine. he gets shot in the hand, right? On the skiff?
No, he loses the hand at the end of Empire.
Yes, but they give him a hand that looks real. And in Jedi, he gets shot in the hand, and then he puts the glove over it. You get the shot hand as one of the accessories.
Oh, okay.
You not remember this?
I
have you seen Star Wars?
I have.
Return of the
I
Jedi?
I do remember it.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Do we have to take a break and watch Star Wars?
No. No, we don't.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You get the right hand, gloved right hand. You get the blaster damaged right hand, which is why he puts the glove on.
Okay.
Matt. You get the saber grip left hand and the saber grip right hand. So you get a variety of hands to do different things.
Okay.
You also get a hooded cloak.
Nice.
A femur bone from the Rancor battle.
That's funny.
I think that's an interesting accessory. This would be the bone that he uses to brace the
Rancor's
mouth
open.
Mm-hmm. In order to escape from the Rancor. It's a great bit of accessories for this particular
sure.
character. I have to say also the likeness is fantastic.
And this would be obviously because it's Return of the Jedi. This would be post mangled face Mark Hamill.
Right. This would be post accident, traumatic accident Mark Hamill.
Right.
I think that happened actually between Star Wars and Empire.
Really? I thought it was Empire and Jedi. I thought that was one of the reasons there was such a huge delay between the two. But that's what I had read.
Really?
Who knows?
Fantastic.
I've been wrong before, so.
Fantastic. Let's get on the internet and find out an answer to that. Just go to IMDb and type in Mark fucking Hamill and read the fucking bio and it'll probably tell you.
It's between Star Wars and Empire.
Anyway, God, moving along.
Take 5 seconds and do something instead of sitting there.
Know this shit.
I should.
This is the first, Matt, in a series of figures that are coming
mm-hmm.
from Sideshow. And what is significant, it is a fantastic piece. And by every stretch of the imagination, if you have the means to pick one up, by all means, you should. Currently planned also and appearing on the back of the Luke Skywalker packaging
right.
is Kit Fisto.
Shirtless or?
He will be when I get him.
Right.
Hubba hubba.
Okay.
Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi from episode 3.
Okay.
Which look really good also. I think what's important to note here about the fact that Sideshow is putting out 12-inch Star Wars figures is that this would be one of the signs of the apocalypse of the toy industry that Hasbro gave up a Star Wars license, and that's the real bit of news here. It was
right.
It was the story at San Diego last year
mm-hmm.
was that Sideshow announced that they indeed had acquired the rights to do 12-inch Star Wars figures and the premium format
right.
Star Wars pieces, the museum quality quarter scale figures, of which we have discussed Darth Vader in depth in Episode 1. The significance of Hasbro giving up a Star Wars line, it almost kind of makes you a little scared.
Makes me happy. It's got to go someplace. Sideshow's the place to go.
But what I mean, it makes it kind of scared because Hasbro doesn't give up anything.
Well,
unless it's dead.
Well, you know what? Hasbro's not concerned for a couple reasons. First of all, they've renewed that figure license again. I think it's through like 2012 or something insane.
For the 3¾?
Right, for the 3¾.
Right.
And you know, these don't really directly compete with Hasbro because are high-end.
Right.
They are museum quality, like we've said in the past, both the 12-inch and the premium format.
Right.
And in no way do they compete with the Hasbro products. I mean, unless you're talking about their 12-inches.
Which they are no longer producing.
Oh, so?
I don't think. I think that was the understanding here is that I think Hasbro decided that the 12-inch Star Wars figures were no longer a profitable line.
Well, after they choked KB with that Episode 3 exclusive
Chewbacca
figure,
ugh.
I think it was a wise move for them to move away from that scale and give it to someone like Sideshow, who's going to do it right.
And I think that Sideshow, who is just eating up the 12-inch market
mm-hmm.
with the variety of licenses they
have. Sideshow and 12 inch is practically synonymous at this point.
It was definitely a wise, it was a great pickup by
mm-hmm.
Sideshow, and they have run with it.
Sure.
I mean, they're going to be producing just an extraordinary, from what we understand, an extraordinary amount of Star Wars 12-inch figures, which I think is great. I thought I always hoped that Kenner would get behind the 12-inch line and kind of really give it the prestige and the attention that the 3 3/4 figures got. And I feel like they never did. They bounced around with different types of packaging. They used different body types and with the varying articulations or not. Their character selection in the 12-inch line was really questionable.
Well, you know, in their defense, and while I hate to defend them, but in their defense, I don't think at the point in time where they were actively producing those 12-inch figures that the market was at a point where these top quality, you know, expensive collectibles were really appropriate. I mean, we've really entered an age in toy collecting now where the bigger scale, high quality figures have a comfortable home and they really sell. Right. I don't think that they would have necessarily sold at that point in time. So,
no, I totally agree. And if you remember, you may not remember, but the original 12-inch figures that came out in the late 70s,
right,
were not very popular at all.
Sure.
Now, of course, they're some of the most expensive Star Wars figures that you can get.
Sure. Well, because in the 70s, they were dolls.
Well, they were in the late 70s. They were, yes, they were dolls.
They were action figures or 12-inch figures. They were dolls.
And they were not popular. However, late 70s, early 80s, you know, 20 years later, they're very desired by collectors.
Sure.
And not only that, Hasbro, you know, which back at that time was Kenner.
Right.
Hasbro has now decided, look, we're not doing anything with this line.
Right.
Let's put it out there. And I think Sideshow is really, really going to do some amazing things.
I agree. They're the perfect company to snag this license and do justice to this line.
So you can look forward to hearing a lot more about Star Wars and Sideshow right here on Geek Stuff. You can go over to... You can go to SideshowToy.com.
Right.
And you can check out their complete line of Star Wars products.
Correct.
Those that are out and those that are coming out.
Correct.
And you can go to the home site, of course... BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Ha, didn't say www.
I'm so proud of you.
And you can check out pictures of Jedi Luke there as well. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what else. Every time they reveal the next thing that they're going to do, they really surprise me.
Who knows? Maybe they'll reveal something at San Diego. It's always a possibility.
Oh, well, you know, they're already teasing us about what they're going to reveal in San Diego.
We'll get to that. Another episode.
And that'll bring us to the wrap-up of episode 5.
Right.
The Dream Child.
Correct.
And we talked a lot about the news, Matt. What did we talk about?
This week we talked about the Stardust movie that's being made. Of course, it's a Neil Gaiman creation that's going into production soon. So
if
seen that.
If that cast is accurate that you mentioned, that has really great potential to be just another great comic book movie.
It's
another great non-traditional comic book movie.
I'm really excited. We're going to follow that one very closely, I'm sure. We also talked about 30 Days of Night, which was another graphic novel, vampire-based graphic novel that's being made into a movie that's going into production sometime soon.
I recommended to all of you who are listening to pick up The Black Coat, A Call to Arms, Part 1 of 4. It's by Ape Entertainment. It's $2.99, $3.99 in Canada. It's got fantastic story, a fantastic pulp type story,
right,
with great art by Francesco Fransaviglia.
Right.
I have to find out how to pronounce that.
Ask him next time you meet him.
I will. And hopefully that'll be soon, because this book really should take off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they can check out the-black-coat.com to learn more information about that book.
All right. We also touched upon the Danger Room being included in the next X-Men film due out next month.
potential whipped cream on dog shit.
Look, I'm just throwing it out there. It's a news segment. And the last thing we talked about was maybe Mr. Fantastic pursuing a new job as a professional video game player. The Major League Gaming Association. I think it's MLGPro.com if you want to find out more about that. And the show that'll be airing on USA later this year.
Fantastic has got the chops to play professional Halo. I'm telling you.
I'm sure he does.
I'm telling you.
I'm sure he does.
Look, I get in the Jeep thing and I just drive around. I'm mowing guys down. Occasionally, I might get blown out of the Jeep, and right. I might have to shoot somebody or something. But let me tell you, Fantastic and I, on the same team, playing Capture the Flag, we were rocking the Casbah, weren't we, Fantastic?
He's nodding yes.
Unbelievable. We give him a goddamn mic, and now he won't use it.
He's preoccupied. It's okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, moving
somebody
on.
Somebody wake up Fantastic and tell him he's producing a show.
Leave him alone. He's got other things on his mind. You know, growing.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's all. The next thing we talked about today was a series of kids' toys or collectibles that have an adult collector's appeal.
Right. These are toys that are created for children that actually have a geek or collector appeal mm-hmm. to them. We talked about Crypto the Super Dog, based on a very up-and-coming, I feel, cartoon. Mm-hmm. We talked also about Spider-Man and Friends.
Correct.
Based on a lot of the Marvel characters, Spider-Man characters and Marvel characters. And we talked about Star Wars line, mm-hmm. which is all of these lines are I think they're kind of phase one into leading kids into different interests, be it comic books, be it cartoons, be it Star Wars collecting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we rounded out that segment by talking about the Play School Mr. Potato Head Star Wars characters, Darth Tater, the Spud Trooper, and the up-and-coming R2 Tato. Or
whatever.
Whatever
R2
he's Tater called.
Or whatever.
Right. We also heard the premiere of a new and hopefully ongoing segment called Angry Dan's Random Rant, where we placed mm-hmm. the topic for Angry Dan's rant in front of him as the mics go live. And hopefully, Matt, we'll get to hear more of those. I thought the first one was great.
And the last thing we talked about today would be the Sideshow 12-inch Star Wars line, the Order of the Jedi, it's being called. And it's the first piece in line we discussed, which was Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi with all his accessories and sabers and different hands. And
I'm really impressed right out of the gate, mm-hmm. Matt. I'm really impressed by the packaging, the presentation of this figure. You don't even have to. I mean, of course you should, but you don't have to open this toy. Mm-hmm. You can display this toy by simply opening the box and the panels outward. And it's just another fantastic piece by Sideshow.
It's exactly what I pictured in my mind when I heard that Sideshow had picked up this license.
Very well said.
That threw me off for some reason. You don't compliment me often, but I'll take it.
And I'd also like to say Mr. Fantastic did a good job on the mic today. I hope some of it actually ends up on the podcast.
I think most of it should. And that's going to wrap up episode 5 of Geek Stuff. Come back next week for episode 6, The Undiscovered Country.
Ooh, what could that be about?
Ooh, it's a secret.
I think it's going to be about Mexican knockoff import toys.
It might be. You'll have to wait and
really?
See.
Really? Because I didn't do any prep on that.
Nah, we could get some stuff. They sell them in the mall now, you know.
They do?
They do. Them little tchotchke carts.
Wow.
I saw one set that had Spider-Man, Captain America, and Mr. Incredible in it. A 3-pack. That's all I'm saying.
Let's just say this now. The episode is not about knockoff Mexican toys.
No, it certainly is not.
But you will tune in next week and you will see what it is about.
And on that note, we cue the music.